Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for joining in, my brother, my sister. It's so much a pleasure to have you back on this channel. And this is Spirit and Life. And this is the place where we just share God's word and study the scriptures and see what he's saying to us. And we've been studying the life and the call of Abraham, the call of God through the life of Abraham. And it's a series of messages which you can just find by following the channel and just going through, subscribing and looking at. But what is key is that the Lord speaks to us. The Bible tells us, and Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 6 verse 63, that these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. That means that the flesh counts for nothing, but the spirit gives life. And the words that God speaks to us, they are spirit and they are life. And so it's such an opportunity that God has given us to delve into his word. And today I want us to look at an interesting message. Weakness turned to strength. Weakness turned to strength. And we'll continue looking at the life of Abraham. And wow, Abraham, just like any other man, as the Bible called Elijah, a man with like passions, I will say, Abraham was just like me, just like you, a man who was weak, a bag of infirmities, but his weakness was turned to strength. Let us pray as we start. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We glorify you, Lord. We worship your holy name. Thank you that you are God, that indeed there is no one else like you, God. You are faithful. You were faithful to the Abraham in his life, oh God. Throughout his many struggles, his weaknesses, but you demonstrated your strength. And you showed your faithfulness in your call to him, oh God. Indeed, his weaknesses was turned to strength. And I thank you that indeed, even this morning, as we shall look into the word, may you turn my weaknesses, may you turn our weaknesses to strength, oh God. May your spirit empower us and give life to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today I want us to look at those scriptures, and we are going to open the word of God, and we're going to look at the weaknesses of Abraham. And I just decided to classify them as the weaknesses of Abraham because there were quite a number. And I will just look at three or so of his weaknesses just to highlight who he was and the journey that he walked. And the first weakness of Abraham, we can capture it in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 10. And this is the first time that Abraham encounters famine in Egypt. Sorry, famine while he was in Canaan. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 verse 10 that now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Verse 11, as he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. You know, and when Abraham went to Egypt, and the Egyptians indeed saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman, they praised her to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh took her into his palace. But you see, the word says that the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household. You know, Abraham, yes, Pharaoh treated him well. He gave him cattle, sheep, donkeys, male servants. But because of taking Abraham's wife, the Lord inflicted a serious sickness on, inflicted a serious sickness on Pharaoh's family. And he complained, "Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? Now go, here is your wife, and take her." Abraham was fearful. He feared for his life. And the reality is, many of us, when we encounter problems, life-changing situations, when we are threatened, our natural response is to fear. And you know what fear leads to? It leads to us switching to survival mode. And in survival mode, people do many things. Fight, flight, or fright. People either fight, when you encounter a challenge, you're ready to fight. People also flight, they run, they take off. At times, running away is the easiest way when we face difficult situations. And others, they just fear, full of fright, and they're paralyzed, and they can't move. And we can see what this fear of his life led Abraham to do. It led him into lying. It's a reality. Yes, someone might say it was a half lie, because we can read the second encounter where he repeated the same. He repeated the same in the second encounter. And this was with King Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20, verse 1 to 17. Where Abraham again moved to Gerar, moved out of, you know, where he was assigned. And when he went again, he feared for his life. This is the man who God has promised that, "Come, leave everything, go to a place where I will show you." This is the man that has heard the voice of God, has obeyed this time, has received the blessing of generations. Well, he's just like me and you. Many times we fear. And his weakness, fear, led him to lie. And we see the challenges that God still, the amazing thing of his weakness here is that God still protected him. God protected Sarai. Oh, I can imagine how hard it was for her. Your husband asks you to say you are his sister as a sign of love. We read that, yes, in Genesis chapter 20. He told Sarai, "Everywhere we go, this is how you will show me your love. Whenever we go, say you are my sister." I know, I mean, this is the period of Valentine's, yesterday, today. And there is no woman, wife even, not even girlfriend, who would want to be introduced as a sister. But see the life of Sarai, the faith she had, the gentle and quiet spirit that the scripture speaks about, that who obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called her master. The Bible says, why? Because she did not give way to fear. Let's not talk about Sarai. We'll have a session for her to look at her faith and her journey of faith as the scriptures describe it. But we can see that in the weakness of Abraham, she was put to suffer. And she was taken into a mother man's household, first to Pharaoh as his wife, then to King Abimelech. But God preserved her in those moments. You know, when Abraham was called, he was 75 years old. Sarai, 10 years younger than her. So Sarai was 65. And in this period, I mean, this is a 65 year old to 90 years old woman, at least, yeah, before, so at least to 75, because by that time Ishmael had not yet come. And this is the woman that these kings are after. But God had mercy on her. Weakness was turned to strength. And you see, God used these opportunities to turn it around and bless Abraham through it. In the first instance, Pharaoh gave Abraham so much. When he came back to Canaan, he was wealthy in gold and silver. The Bible describes that. And likewise also for Abimelech, to cover his guilt, he blesses Abraham with so much. So God turns it around and turns that weakness into strength. And that's why we as human beings will ask ourselves, why? Why does God choose to use weak vessels? Why does God choose to use bags of infirmities? I look at myself, at my life. I've struggled. Struggled with the call of God. Struggled with weaknesses. But God still says, it is you that I want to use. My brother, my sister, it is you that God still wants to use. Don't look at your weaknesses. Don't look at your struggles. But surrender and submit to the Lord and see what he shall do. To answer our question, why does God turn weakness into strength? I want us to read the word. And this I want us to read in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to read from chapter 1, verse 26 to 29 to get our first. Okay, second reason, because the first one is election. God chose Abraham. God chose, I mean, it is God who chooses. He chooses weak vessels. It is his choice. God chose Abraham. Simple. His family was from the Chaldeans who were into astrology and witchcraft, but God chose him. We can never understand and explain why did God choose Abraham. But God wanted to demonstrate his purposes and to bring his son, and he chose the lineage of Abraham. He chooses. Even Jesus told his disciples that you did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. So it is God who chooses. And election is such a big topic, but I want to say the first thing that we see is election. God is the one that chooses. So in his sovereign will, he decides to use who he will use. And you see, the call of God is open to everyone. He says many are called, but few are chosen. Many applies to many. And even when we see the prophecies of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it says that afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, in that every man, young, old, male, female, maid servant, female servant, have the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he pours it out to those who are willing, to those who are empty, those who release themselves to him. And so, yes, number two. Yeah, let me get to number two. Yeah, you had your finger on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. The second reason is that so that no one may boast before God. God does it for his glory, for his pleasure. Do you know, if there's one thing that God derives, he made man for his pleasure. He created, like he will create. He spoke things and then he sits back and says, it was good. It was good. It was good. I mean, when God looks at us, our shape, our eyes, our witnesses, finds pleasure. Look at what it says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Remember, reflect, think of what you are when you are called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Look at the things that men consider strength. Not many of you were wise. God did not focus on wise people. Jesus chose fishermen, uneducated men. Not many of you are influential. Influence is what men look at. Not many of you are not of noble birth, royal family. But God chose the foolish things. I don't know how, if you can reason that. The things that God chose. He chose the foolish things of this world. Why? God's man's wisdom, the highest level of man's wisdom, will never compare to the foolishness of God. If God had a level of foolishness, forgive me for saying, that means that His wisdom is far above, beyond man's expressions of knowledge and science and whatever it is that we want to say is wisdom of our age. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. If you think you're strong before God, God will put you to shame. If you think you're wise before God, God will embarrass you and show you how foolish you are. If you think you're influential before God, God will show you are nothing. You're just a mist that can be blown. You're just a speck of dust. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. And the things that are not, look at that, three things, lowly things. Do you feel low? God has chooses you. Do you feel despised? God chose the despised things. Do you feel weak? God chose. Do you think things that are not? God chose. You think you're nothing? God chose you. God chose that. God has chosen you even when you are nothing. Why? To cancel the things that are. God chose Abraham and he canceled the things that were. And he says, so that no one may boast before him. Well, we can never boast before God. And you see weaknesses at times baffle us, because you try to overcome, it comes back. Or maybe it is a struggle, maybe it is a pain, maybe it is some barrenness that you're facing, some struggles with businesses, some struggles with an ailment, maybe it's a condition. And Paul, the Bible tells us that Paul struggled with something similar. And he says that to keep me from being conceited, from being proud, a thorn in the flesh was given to him, a messenger of Satan. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And he said that three times he pleaded with the Lord, please remove it, please remove it, please remove it. And in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Lord tells him, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What an answer from the Most High when we face weaknesses. That my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power. You want to see God's power? Be weak. Or if he has already made you weak, draw on his strength. Weakness attracts the power of God. That's why he says, in our weaknesses, we do not even know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Are you at a weak point? Have you reached a point where men cannot help you? No one can. You cannot help yourself. The doors that you've knocked are closed. The people that you've looked to are closed. You've spent all your money, or you don't even have money to spend. And there are situations that only God can intervene in. I've got good news for you this morning, that we have a God who turns weaknesses to strength. And you see that verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34. And it speaks about all these guys. 34, who quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of Seol, whose weakness was turned to strength. Let us draw on the strength of God, and he shall turn our weaknesses into strength. Let me pray with you. With you, and that's why I say with you, because I as well need the strength of God. Dear Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it is your word that comes to strengthen us. And I thank you for my brother, my sister, who has acknowledged their weakness. And Father, we are weak. I am weak. God, I pray that you may strengthen us. I ask that you may come inside. Intervene in our lives. Intervene in the life of my brother. Intervene in the life of my sister. That sickness must go in Jesus' name. That struggle must go in Jesus' name. That poverty must go in Jesus' name. That barrenness must go in Jesus' name. Father, it is your strength that can make it work. It is your strength that brings life to the dead, to dead dreams, to dead situations, to dead lives. Oh God, may you bring life. May you give us life. May you give us strength this morning. As you say, your mercies are new every morning. May you show us your mercy. Thank you for grace, oh God. Give us the grace that is sufficient, O God. May a peace that surpasses human understanding dwell and rest in our hearts. In you, through Christ Jesus. I honor you, I adore you, and I glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, pray and believe. Amen. If you say this prayer, I know that the Lord has strengthened you. And read the scriptures, read the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And take time to find strength in the Lord. As the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Please join this channel again. Join me again tomorrow, and we, as the Lord allows, shall be sharing with you once more from the scriptures. God bless you. Bye.